Let's do it, huh? How about that? Ravens win. Ravens are 1-0 to start the season. This is Press Box's Project Game Day post-game show, brought to you by ParXL and also sponsored by the U.S. Army. I'm Glenn Clark. She's the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard. And I did not expect this to go this way today, Sarita. I thought we were going to be doing quite a different show at this point.
I did, too. Let me just say that I did pick the Bengals, I believe, to win, but I thought it would be a close game. I believe my score was 17-20. So I did think that the Ravens would find a way defensively to stay in this game, because offensively I just thought that they had too many issues. We didn't know what they would be like. That really didn't change for me.
Right.
I don't know if it changed.
Right. Oh, no, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that
part. So that part didn't change, but defensively they did what I thought that they would do, but they exceeded my expectations.
Look,
for today.
I have said all along that as people have been talking about this defense, like it's the greatest defense in the history of football, or it's akin to the 2000 Ravens defense, I've said the same thing.
Calm down.
Let's see that. Let me see where the pass rush is. Let me see who's actually doing that. Because a year ago, they had a statistically very good defense, and how much did that help them in Pittsburgh when Ben Roethlisberger was beating them on Christmas? It helped them none. Zero. They didn't really have that great of a defense. It was just stats. This performance, obviously, today was something far different because they made plays. They didn't get off the field. They didn't stop the run. They didn't do little things that were nice for a defense to do. They made game-changing plays. And at a certain point, you realize the Bengals just had nothing in them.
Yep.
You mix that in with one really emphatically long drive. This game could have become a game again in the second half. When it was 17-0, the Ravens turned the ball over. The Bengals got it to that side of the field. Then they turned it over again, and the Ravens followed it up with a 9-minute drive.
Yes.
To march down the field and kick a field goal. Couple of questionable penalties in the mix, but whatever, you take those because they're gonna have to go your way at some point.
Yep.
Those things changed any opportunity. The Bengals just tapped out at that point. I mean, it was just, the game was over, and so I don't really know how much to take from this other than if they're going to make plays defensively the way that they made them today, they're gonna give themselves a chance. They're going to have an opportunity. I'm not ready to say emphatically yet that this is definitely a case of who the Ravens defense is versus it being one game against Andy Dalton and what appeared to be a very uninspired Bengals team. And certainly the stuff that we're going to talk about on the offensive side of the ball we'll get to. But defensively, obviously it was very good. There's no debating that. It was outstanding. It was dominant. It was all the things that you want it to be. The biggest thing being they made actual plays. They got the football. They knocked the ball down. They got to the quarterback. They did all those types of things.
I agree. And I think that I agree with you in the fact that the Bengals decided that they just, you know, they deflated early. No pun. they deflated early and didn't really come up with any mojo after halftime. But I think if you're going into the locker room and you're the Ravens, you do have to have some confidence in that, because this is still a Bengals team that you have not been able to beat for quite some time.
Well, not in Cincinnati.
Particularly
in
at home.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. Since Dalton and A.J. Green have come, this is not a team that you have been able to beat at home. And then you have the fact of, minus Andy Dalton, because we know he struggled really bad. And I'm being nice. I mean, he sucked. Let me not be nice. He stunk.
He was horrible.
He stunk it
yes.
up. It was bad. However, you have A.J. Green that you still have to deal with. Tyler Eifert is somebody that has not been nice to the Ravens in the past. And then you had the running back situation with Jeremy Hill and then Joe Mixon and Gio as well. So these are guys that previously have not been good to us. And so while I agree with you that this is really not something you can gauge for how dominant this team is, you do have to be confident in those things, because these are guys typically in the past you have been unable to beat at home. So I'll let them celebrate a little bit today.
I am not.
They deserve it. 20-0 is a big step. I saw a stint that they have, this is their first, I believe, shutout at home. I mean, I'm sorry, in the inaugural season. Let me not make this up, because I feel like I'm getting ready to tell you a lot, Glenn, but I just saw the stat. I'm going to tell you what the stat just said. But, okay, dominant, the five turnovers, 20-0 victory, first shutout since November the 16th, 2009 versus the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
So you got, I mean, we're almost, what, 9 seasons in since their last shutout?
Right.
You got to feel a little bit confident about that.
This is so dangerous because I know you, I know me, right? I'm a little bit worried, as I said at the end of the game, that I'm actually going to sound negative somehow.
Oh, I'm going to sound negative.
About a dominant performance. And that's,
Hold on. Only one side was super dominant.
Fine,
so
but
let's
it was still
clear
a dominant performance.
Yes,
a 20-0 victory in the NFL, which doesn't happen. There aren't 20-0 wins in the NFL over anyone. That's a dominant performance in the National Football League, no matter how you went about doing it. You were dominant in that victory. Now, yes, there's plenty of stuff that we're going to talk about, and I promise you we're going to get to it. For now, I know that there are fans, that, and I'm already hearing from them, and you can we ask you.
They're
going
to be mad as hell when we start talking about the bad. But you got to do it. You have to acknowledge the things that needed work. And like you said, we will get to it, but there are things that I saw today and I was not happy about. And if they played an opponent that had 60 minutes in them, because the Bengals didn't have 60 minutes. They played 30 and then said, you know what, let's just chalk it up. We ain't going to win this.
Not our day.
Today ain't the day. We just going to wait till next week.
Mm-hmm.
If you played somebody else that felt like they could come back into this game, a Raiders or maybe a Titans team, somebody that had a little bit more fire in them, we'd be in trouble.
Today was the type of day, and we don't really care about this here, but today was the type of day that, as much as everybody in Cincinnati tells me Marvin's not on the hot seat, there's no way he's on the hot seat.
He needs to be.
This is the type of day that makes you wonder. The one thing that's the caveat is if they go 3-13, if they have a disaster, a clunker of a season, at some point you can't just keep doing the same thing for the sake of doing it. And this was the type of day that makes you wonder if they might have a clunker in them, that they just might not be interested anymore in what it is that Marvin Lewis has to say. They might have checked out. Some of the guys probably know that Andy Dalton stinks. They're just, they're not there any longer. They had no ability. The other big problem they have, and we'll get to this with the Ravens as well, is they had an entirely new offensive line.
Correct.
And theirs could not hold up. And when we gauge this Ravens defense, I don't say this. Look, I'm going to respond to everybody. John from Little Rock, shutouts are super rare in the NFL. Very special day. Agreed. Completely agreed, John. When you get a shutout in the NFL, that's remarkable. It's remarkable because you just don't do that. Those are professional football players.
Absolutely.
On the other side of the field. All it takes is one thing to go the wrong way.
Absolutely.
They clearly should have gotten points, but they turned
the ball
over.
I was getting ready to say, how many times have they been in the red zone today? How many times was the Bengals in the red zone today and had turnovers in the red zone that prevented them from doing those things? So, yes, we're saying, I mean, I gave you the stat. November the 16th, 2009 is the last time they did it. Obviously, this is not something that happens regularly. You do have to celebrate. But what you need to recognize is that one side of the ball played a big, big, big role in how they got there. And then the other side of the ball kind of just they were just kind of along for the ride.
Correct.
I mean,
you know. Save it. We're going to do a whole break.
We're going to
a whole segment.
Absolutely.
On it. From Carlos, defense was definitely great today and will get better, I'm sure. Get better how, I guess, my question. I mean, the answer would be the young pass rushers, right? We don't know what's going to be the story on Za'Darius Smith.
Yes.
That's obviously a bummer, and it comes right after he had made a play and maybe showed a sign that he was turning a corner. They obviously trust Tim Williams so much at this point that he wasn't even active today. Now, a lot of guys at the beginning of their career, despite being early round picks, Paul Kruger's the one that will jump out off the page because they don't have special teams roles. They don't get active. I think it's a tough thing for fans to remember. You can only have 46 players active.
Correct.
You've got 22 starters already. You got a handful of guys that are musts because they have defined roles, and then you have special teams guys. It's really tough to get into that first 46. It's a smaller number than I think anyone realizes it is. So I'm not so down on Tim Williams not being in the first 46, but I think if you believe that Tim Williams was going to be the difference maker this season, this was going to be the guy that changed the pass rush, it does have to be alarming to you that they didn't have a role in mind for him to get on the field today.
I agree.
Tyus Bowser, can he be that guy? I don't know. I mean, maybe. We'll see. It's a long way to go there. I have no clue. Matt Judon, I think they're more comfortable with that edge setter's role, maybe not necessarily in a traditional pass rush role or being a pass rush specialist. I think they like him on the other side of the field. So that could be a way that the defense could get better. The problem being, this is the unfortunate part, as we knock on every piece of wood we can find, there are going to be more injuries.
Yep.
Za'Darius Smith won't be the last Ravens defensive player to get hurt. So will it get better than it is today? I don't know about that, because there's going to be a level of attrition just because it's a 16-game season in the NFL, and that's the way that it works. Is it a sign of perhaps them being better than maybe I was willing to give them credit for, and then being closer to the truly special defense that some people wanted to believe they were because of the investments on that side of the ball? Perhaps. Look, having a better secondary today was a huge part of the story.
And that had a lot to do with Jimmy Smith not getting injured, because Jimmy Smith against A.J. Green, obviously, is a good matchup that typically works in the Ravens' favor until he got hurt, because that happened in the previous Bengals game. He played well and then got hurt in that game, and then we saw A.J. Green just kind of go off. I want to reference something from earlier in the Fantasy and Reality show. The inactives typically come out while we're on air.
Right.
And all the inactives came out, including Tin Williams, I think Wormley, Kafusi, Willie Henry, and KZ almost lost his mind. Now, we do both agree that this is kind of what happens when you have a special teams coach as a head football coach, because they still have an investment in special teams. However, you have the top kicker in the National Football League that nobody is typically going to come out the end zone to run after a kickoff. And then you have one of the best punters in the league. So we are at the point where we are a little irritated with John Harbaugh at this point, because you have a guy, when you see a guy like Za'Darius Smith go down and you're wondering, okay, these other guys are inactive, what are we going to do here? And for me, that was a concern when he went down early in the game, because although he started off having a very good game, once he went down, I said, okay, well, who's up next? The problem is that guys that had a lot of potential that you heard a lot about weren't active today, and that's because they don't have a special teams role. So when does John Harbaugh come to the agreement or some type of compromise that, okay, I know they're not standout special teams players, but look, I got this top kicker in the league. And then I have this punter that my special teams, for the most part, has done very well in covering.
Right.
When do you have that compromise and say, important than that?
I think that it's not unique to John Harbaugh. I don't think it's unique to him being a special teams coach. I think it's like that everywhere in the NFL, and it's just a case of what we can't end up doing is saying, we think we can take a risk by not putting this guy out there in the role that we like to have him in. It's why a few of these guys made the football team. Bam Bradley made the football team because of this. It's the reason why Sheldon Price is on the football team, even though he didn't play today.
Correct.
Because of an injury.
Yes.
We trust them in those roles, and if that's not the guy that's on the field, we're worried we end up giving away 7 points at some point during the game that we didn't have to give away. So I'm more defensive of that. Look, I think there was a question as to why you kept 8 defensive linemen to begin with, but the Ravens in their history have always seemed to find these defensive linemen they think the world of, and that they either want to try to get value for from someone else or that they're reluctant to give up. I can think of the Kelly Talavus of the world.
Yeah.
There's a Lamar Dibbins, a never-ending list of guys that never really got the opportunity to play, but they thought the world of them. They were D'Angelo Tyson, guys they just didn't want to give up on because they thought they were football players. So I think you can question that a little bit in building your roster that way, but I wasn't surprised by anything that we saw on that point. Now, I think it's getting concerning that Bronson Kafusi,
he's a what, second or third?
Second-year guy, but now he was dealt with
an
injury.
Third-round pick. I get it, ankle injury. But that was last year at this point. I'm going to guess he's probably close to 100%. What is he doing to not get on the field? And that's the question that I have.
And I think that the answer would probably be a numbers game. Would just be the answer. It's a numbers game that's keeping him off the field. I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole because obviously nothing to do with the fact that they won a game 20-0 today. I hear everybody and everything that everyone's saying about the defense. I get it. And I hope that everyone ends up being right. I am going to withhold. I'm going to say thumbs up for today. A plus. Yeah, give it 100 pluses. Give it all of the goddamn pluses you want to give it. Let me continue to see what happens when you're playing more functional offenses. Now, next week might not be a great example of that because you're not playing a particularly functional offense. You're playing the Browns. You're playing the Jaguars.
The Browns played better today.
That's true. And the Jaguars played particularly well
today. Yes, they did. I believe they won.
I don't know what to make of that. I don't know if that's a sign that they maybe are coming around as a functional offense. I also don't know what's going on with Allen Robinson. I know he went down today.
Yes.
So we'll see about that. But let me see this defense for a little while before I'm willing to just jump on board and say, it is this because I want it to be this or because it looked that way for one game. It was a damn good performance.
Absolutely.
It was a brilliant performance.
I agree, it is one game. I have no issues what happened today, because without that defense, this game would not have been the way that
Correct.
It would not have been the way that it was. So I have no issues with what happened defensively today. They played off the break. They played very well off the snap. They were prepared. They were ready to play, and they played 60 minutes.
Yep.
That is what we were asking for at the end of last year that they were unable to do. Now, I agree with you. I don't know how long that's going to last. We have 15 more games to find out what they're made of. But you are encouraged by all of the hype that has come around this Ravens defense from what people have talked about. And you, you know, they proved, or at least for now, they've shown that they're living up to the hype for now. Because, like I said, those guys, A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert and getting Joe Mixon, because Joe Mixon and Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill, they made some plays as well as A.J. Green. They did make some plays.
Yes, they had moments.
But they still found a way to clamp those guys down and not allow them to score, because obviously once they got into the red zone, they did what they had to do.
Rita, and this is Tom Marr just checked in. The Ravens caused those turnovers, and that's the point. The point
Absolutely.
Is they made the plays.
Yes.
I want that. This was not Andy Dalton threw one horribly
Correct.
Deep center field and somebody ran back and caught it. The Ravens defense made the plays. And this is the thing that I've been asking for, is who's going to go make plays? Because that was what was missing a year ago when you told me about statistically how good the Ravens defense was. Who was going and making plays? Who was getting them off the field? Well, they got off the field today because guys made plays, particularly at the line of scrimmage, to get the ball up in the air. And if that's who they're going to be, if they're going to be a team that can bat the ball, it's not going to work against everyone.
Correct.
But if they're going to be a team that regularly bats balls down or knocks balls up in the air and allows people, other players, to have the opportunity for interceptions, that's a recipe for a very, very good defense. So again, I'm asking everybody to slow down a little bit, but I'm telling you, if this is what's going to come, then I'm going to get on board.
Yeah, absolutely.
If this is the next 3-4 weeks of watching them continuously bat balls at the line of scrimmage, continuously actually make plays to get off the field, continuously collect sacks, things along those lines, then I will get on board with the idea that this could truly be a special defense. Right now, I think it's a good to very good defense that had a great day.
Oh, so you're just not going to jump on the bandwagon right now?
Not after one game. That's not the way I operate.
Don't have your purple glasses
on. I reserve the right to, Rita. I reserve the right to. All right, some more responses that have come in. Then I need to tell everybody at Par Excel. John from Little Rock, you guys are correct. It's just one game. It's a week-to-week league. It's all about matchups. All right, today, for whatever reason, ended up being a very good matchup for the Ravens.
Yes, it is, but I just want to stress that typically this matchup has been a problem
Correct.
For the Ravens.
Correct.
So, although I don't want you to get too excited, because, again, it is week one, and I do think that week one is the wackiest weeks of all weeks of NFL football. You know, the wildest things have happened. I mean, like I said, the Jags, I believe, won a game
correct.
Today. And
correct.
Blake Bortles didn't throw an interception. So, wild things
Although
happened.
Although he only threw it for 125 yards.
It doesn't matter. He didn't throw an INT. You know what I'm saying?
That is a good
point. So, week one, the weirdest things happen. We don't have an explanation for them other than it's just week one of the NFL. But still, we have seen these same guys, the same personnel, wreak havoc against the Ravens defense. So I do credit Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta for
right.
what they've done, because in the offseason we were complaining, oh, you just doing all of this defensive
look, the Ravens
things.
Have had nightmares with Andrew Whitworth in the past.
Yes.
I still think the offensive line for the Bengals is part of this story.
Absolutely.
Now, remarkably, the Ravens offensive line held up enough. They weren't great, but
Decent.
They held up enough. They didn't give Joe Flacco much time. We'll get to that. You know what? Let me do this. We need to tell everybody about Par Excel. I need 30 seconds to tell you about Par Excel. I'm seeing all of your comments about the other side of the ball. Trust me, Rita
we'll
and
get
I
we will get to it. Just give us a. Can we please just praise the good? We will get to the bad and the ugly. It's coming.
30 seconds. We're going to talk about the offense. I promise. It's Project Game Day, the post-game show. She's Sarita Hubbard. I'm Glenn Clark. This is Project Game Day, brought to you by Par Excel and by the U.S. Army.
The Par Excel Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, now the offense. Ravens win 20-0. Let's not forget that. Ravens win 20-0. Now the offense.
I mean, ask everybody on Facebook, like, do you really want to talk about what happened today? Because if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty, it wasn't that great.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't that great.
In the context of it being a 20-0 win. And let's make sure we do not forget that. It was a 20-0 victory. Now, let's talk about it. Some of the responses. First of all, our buddy Ken Zales, who you were with every Sunday morning on the Fantasy Rally Football Show, says, Danny Woodhead got hurt. I'm holding a candlelight ceremony. Love Danny Woodhead.
Me too, KZ.
Love Danny Woodhead.
Me too, KZ, because I feel like that series was like his Ravens coming out party, right?
It was like
three receptions, 33 yards.
Perfectly. This is exactly what the Ravens.
This is great. Oh, my God. And then he falls, and then you're like, oh, my God. Maybe he's okay, and then he's grabbing the back of his leg, which is typically where his hamstring is, and you're like, okay,
this could be
good. Then he got carted off the field, and you're like, okay, this is bad.
Yep, really, really bad.
And we haven't seen Danny Woodhead ever since.
And Carlos followed up. He said, hopefully the injuries aren't too serious because we need Woodhead and Darius Smith. Nobody's going to argue with that. From Wes. Wes, what's up, man? Says, Flacco much better today than I would have thought.
No. Nah.
Steve Bolander, don't like that we could not get the first down to put the game away. I mean, I hear you, but the game was essentially.
But the game was away. It was done.
The offense.
Are we going to talk? I mean, let's go back to the two comments. Back.
Yeah.
You say that because statistically, he didn't look bad. If you look at his numbers, he probably didn't look bad. But Flacco is very, very lucky that he didn't have a better defense.
He didn't do anything.
But by better defense, I'm going to say Vontaze Burfict and Adam Jones, who did not play both due to suspensions being out, because they could potentially have changed the Bengals' defense. He did not play well today. There was about three passes that probably could have been intercepted or should have been intercepted.
You think?
Yes.
Yes. Mean, I think I remember two. Maybe I'm forgetting.
Okay,
one.
Okay, right. Fine. Oh, right. Fine. If you want to go two, three,
but
fine.
I kind of I expect that from any quarterback during the course of a
and
game.
Look,
you know what I mean? Like
I get it.
Yeah, he only threw the ball 17 times, so maybe I
he
should.
He threw the ball 17 times. Yeah. You know, there was some delay of games going on, which drove me insane.
But again, they were allowing some of that in the second half, and I thought that was
No. I'm not even talking about the ones that they were allowing. I'm just talking about the ones I believe that they burned those two timeouts, and I was like, okay.
Ravens football, Rita.
Ravens football. Ravens football.
That's the Andy Reid system.
Although I know you are not a big fan of preseason, but the one thing that preseason does allow people to do is just kind of work the kinks on things like that. And I feel like because this is his first real live NFL action, because he didn't have any preseason, that little things like that kind of get lost in translation. I think that if Flacco played against a better defense, we probably could have potentially been in some big trouble.
Maybe. They didn't try to do anything. And
correct.
That's I have no idea what to make of this. They didn't do anything. They didn't attempt to do anything. They threw the ball downfield one time. They threw the ball downfield probably three times.
A couple times, yeah.
But that was it. There was no downfield passing in this game. It reminded me a great deal of the Buffalo game to open the season a year ago, where they look good, but they look good in part because they didn't really have to do anything in order to be able to look good. The other team didn't really accomplish much. I think that Cincinnati, in comparison, I think Cincinnati tried to do a few more things than Buffalo did in the opener a year ago. They just didn't succeed with any of them. In part, I think the Ravens' defense is better than they were a year ago. That being said, on the flip side, the Ravens didn't have to do anything offensively. They didn't have to accomplish anything because of the way the game played out. They didn't accomplish anything. It was a 3-0 game. Then all of a sudden, one long play breaks, and that wasn't a deep bomb. That was just an over-the-middle pass. And
slant.
I'm all for
that
more
slants. That we never see.
We've been asking for more slants.
I've been asking slants for slants for years.
Correct. We see one more slant.
With a good pick play by Watson, by the way.
Great pick play. Correct. Great pick on that to allow Jeremy Maclin to spring free. All of a sudden, it's a 10-0 game. Well, the next time the Ravens see the ball, they're on the 3-yard line. And they only need one play, and all of a sudden, it's a laugher.
Yes.
And from there, it's hard to judge anything. So from the time it was 3-0 to the time it was 17-0, you can't, like, nothing actually changed.
It's very true.
They just hit one long play, and then they got a tremendous defensive play, Ladarius Webb's interception, that set them up on the 3-yard line. They didn't go from 3-0 to 17-0 because they really did anything offensively. They called one really nice play that worked because Jeremy Maclin was open, and he had a pass.
And I believe it was like a zero blitz. I mean, they brought the whole house, it seemed.
Correct.
Cincinnati did.
And it worked, right? Great call. It worked. That's not going to be – you can't assume that's your offense. You can't think that because that one play worked – I think there was a similar play to Mike Wallace in the Buffalo game a year ago.
Yeah.
You can't assume that because that one play worked. Now, that proves that you've got a functional offense. From there
– someone will believe that, by the way.
I know you're right, but we are smarter than that, and so we're not going to allow for that. But then all of a sudden, it's a laugher. It's 17-0. Then it's the second half, and then you get the ball back, or you turn the ball over, you get it back, and you march down the field, but in this sort of weird that's the weirdest 9-minute drive I can remember a team having. It didn't feel as at all as though they were enforcing their will as much as goofy things were just kind of happening to allow them to continue moving the football and ultimately get into field goal range. The offense didn't do anything. They didn't really try to do anything.
And you made a valid point regarding the Buffalo game. If we want to recollect on what happened today and what happened last year, obviously Flacco both coming off of injuries both years. So Buffalo being his first game after his knee injury, and then obviously the Bengals game coming off of his back injury that he suffered in training camp. Or before training camp. So I do believe that the Ravens had a simple game plan. We're not going to make him do too much.
Right.
We want to run the ball a whole lot more, do a couple of quick passes, get the ball out of his hand. But then there were some times and I was like, you guys got to get, I believe it was, they were on the other side, they were inside Bengals territory in the red zone. And I believe it was the third down play where he got sacked before he went into the tent.
Mm-hmm.
And Geno, I believe that was the Geno Atkins sack, right? I had a really big, get that ball out of his hand. Call the play. Just give a shovel pass.
Right.
Do something quick. Get the ball out of his hands. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you're already in the red zone. What you don't want is your quarterback who has a back problem being sacked.
Yeah, that's a really bad thing.
By Cincinnati's defense.
That's a really bad thing.
Other than that, though, I do agree with you. I do think that the game plan was very simple. Let's just run the ball.
For good reason, given what you've been through.
Absolutely.
And given what you are hoping to get from your defense. But I think we can both say emphatically, this is not going to win you anything in the NFL in 2017.
Completely agree.
It can beat the Bengals on a day where the Bengals didn't have it under the hood. That's fine. It might be able to beat other teams that are not...
Mediocre.
Mediocre. That's what they are. You're not winning the games that matter most. Now, you might say, hey, that doesn't really matter. If you just win enough games against mediocre teams, you can get the 9-7. You can get into the postseason. Maybe true. But if you want to contend for something, you can't do it with the offensive system that the Ravens displayed today. You have to have something. You've got to be able to throw the ball downfield at some point. You've got to be able to make plays. And maybe the Ravens will be able to. We didn't even see them try to do it today. We didn't even see them attempt to do it.
And I think a lot of that had to do with getting the rust off of Flacco because,
understood.
You know, obviously he hasn't seen any action.
I had that argument. Our buddy Pete Gilbert from WBL said that back to me. Like, yeah, you're right, but given the circumstances, to be able to have a day like this while you're trying to work the offense at that point is extremely beneficial.
Absolutely. No one's saying that.
In no world do I disagree. The question is, I still don't know that they can.
That's the thing. And that's the thing, is that once they play against better teams, you can still see that the offensive line has some work to do. And I think we can all agree that Terrence West and Buck Allen, they're cool, but you still don't know how efficient they'll be against stouter defensive fronts. So you'll take it because that's what they needed to kind of get into a groove to figure out what this offense can do. But at the same time, you have to acknowledge that, you know, there's a lot of things that are still question marks from this game that you really didn't learn from this team.
Correct.
At this point.
Correct.
And now you have an injury to Danny Woodhead. We don't know how long that's going to be. I mean, but we realized that he was already taken out of work for a couple of weeks as a result. This is a guy that I'm going to assume, just because he had those three big plays early in the game, that was a big part of their plans, and now he's not available.
I think you have to assume that.
So we're still figuring out who they are. I still don't know if we're going to find out next week. I know that it's the Browns. I get it. But the Browns played a pretty decent game, and they played defensively well today, too. And I think that's something that people need to acknowledge. If you saw any of the Pittsburgh Browns game, you do have to wonder how well they're going to play coming into M&T next week. With or without Myles Garrett, they played very well
today.
Wholly agreed.
Agreed on. We'll see, right? See what happens there. I'm not – right now, I think the bigger statement that we're trying to make, and I think you and I are on the same page, is that this was a question we had going into this
game.
This wasn't, boy, they didn't really do anything downfield. We knew this was a question mark for this team. So I'm still going to be concerned about their ability to do it, even coming out of this game, because I was concerned about their ability to do it coming into it.
Exactly.
This isn't something new where, like, oh, it just happened to work out. They didn't have to do it. This is a real concern that we have about this football team that we're going to have to learn as the season goes on, or they're going to have to keep getting four turnovers a game. They're going to have to keep winning the turnover margin by three turnovers per game in order to make up for what they're not able to do on the other side of the ball. I don't think they can continue on that pace, which doesn't mean I don't think they can get turnovers. I don't think the defense is good. I think today the pendulum was all the way over here. I think reality, the pendulum is going to have to come back to about here. The offense is going to have to meet them somewhere, because that's somewhere. I'm not saying it's going to have to be the offense carrying the load or shouldering the load, but it's more like 60-40, something in that territory. Today it was like 80-20, 90-10 on the defense.
I agree. And this is something that we discussed earlier on the Fantasy Reality Show, and I kind of want to put this out there for the fans. If the Ravens go 3-0 at some point, like similar to last year,
yeah,
please don't get too excited. And I'm going to tell you why. Because teams have no real footage on the Ravens offense from this preseason or anything. They have no idea what the Ravens are going to do. And that's because the Ravens have no idea what they're going to do. The Ravens are still figuring this out too, guys. We just got two offensive linemen like a week ago.
Right.
Okay? They're still trying to figure this whole thing out too.
And I do want to point out, we have not really, the offensive line did not give them opportunities to throw the ball downfield.
Correct.
Now, I don't know that they were going to try to throw the ball downfield much anyway.
Yes.
But the offensive line today did not give them opportunities. They did not hold on to these for long enough to Joe Flacco to progress through his reads if they were attempting to get the ball downfield.
Correct.
I don't know how much they would have, but he didn't have those opportunities. The offensive line, you know, didn't get him murdered, so we'll start with that, right? Like, that's a victory.
I mean,
they
he went to the 10, and that's when I was like, okay, well, because when they said Ryan Mallett was warming up, I said, okay, well, this lead was fun, everybody.
Right, yeah, enjoyed it for a minute.
Yeah.
All right, from Jessica, I get why Flacco didn't throw the ball much. Back probably still hurts, but that was not good. Right, yeah, I mean, we
agree with
it
that.
It was not good, but we're giving them the benefit of the doubt that they didn't want to attempt to
Correct.
Do too much today.
And they didn't have to.
And they absolutely, the game circumstances allowed for them to just simply run the ball in the second half, to not care that they weren't moved. Just run. The run game was effective enough. It wasn't, dominant, but Terrence West finished with 4.2 yards per carry on 19 carries.
You'll take it.
You'll take that every time. I like Buck Allen. I've always liked Buck Allen. Every time Buck Allen has the football, I like that there's a danger of something that might happen. I think that they should continue to figure out ways to get him the ball. If Danny Woodhead is going to be out for a little while, they clearly will end up doing that. I have not seen an update yet from John Harbaugh's press conference regarding Danny Woodhead or regarding
Za'Darius Smith
yet either. So I'll continue to look for that. Tom, the Baltimore offense played the game in front of them. They didn't need to go down the field. Yeah, we're saying that. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
But I still have concerns about whether or not they can, and I'm telling you, they're going to have to in order to win things that matter this season.
Correct.
Today they didn't have to. Today they were able to cruise to a victory without doing it. I'm concerned that they're not able to. They're going to have to at some point.
You have to be a little bit objective here and realize that the Bengals felt early on that this game was a wash, and for whatever reason they just was like, okay, well, we're just gonna go ahead and pack this one up after a while, and it allowed the Ravens to just run in the entire second half.
Tom wants us to revel more in the fact that it was a 20-0 win. Look, we're excited.
We did that already. We did that already. Do you want us just to ignore what we saw though, Tom? I mean, really.
All right, John, I really think the Bengals are going to be horrendous this season. They
yes.
have serious issues on both sides of
they
the ball.
Do.
This looked today like a team that's just sort of said, forget it. Like, I'm piss on everything.
There's a friend of mine that I follow on Twitter that's a scout, and he tweeted to me that he believed that the Bengals are trying to get a top five 2018 pick, which if that's the case, we are in all serious trouble because they have talent. Let's be clear.
Yeah, they still have Andy Dalton as their quarterback.
And so. Marvin Lewis as their head coach.
Yeah,
but that's not here nor there.
Carlos Glad-Macklin got a touchdown today, and our wide receivers did okay, but we need more consistent plays down the field. That's what we're talking about.
Yep.
Again, today was fine. Today was fine. You did what you needed to do. It's just about what you're going to need to do in order to win more significantly as the season goes on. West, Danny Woodhead played the role of Campanero today. Yeah, you know what, for what it's worth, Michael Campanero, one game into the year, not hurt.
Oh, gosh. I guess I should be so excited.
Let's take that as a
victory. Bring out the confetti.
Let's take that as a victory, Rita. Let's take that as a win. And there was one other one that I wanted to get to a message from Dave. Dave says, Glenn, think you guys should be a little more celebratory. Everybody wants to be more celebratory.
I'm happy.
I'm not happy with the fact that the Ravens won.
We were happy, but listen, at the end of the day, we have to talk about things that are could potentially be an issue when you get to weeks 2 through 17.
I can't say this enough. If the Ravens defense can force 4 turnovers a game,
then they'll be in a position to win essentially every single
correct.
Week.
If that's what you're getting, if this performance specifically in that category, 4 turnovers per game, if they can do that, you're going to be in brilliant shape. I struggle to think that they can do 4 turnovers per game. If they can, don't worry about any of the rest of this stuff because they're going to be in it. They're going to have opportunities to win games just because of that.
Yep.
If they don't do that, they're going to need to do some other things in other areas.
That's the problem that I have.
We need to name a man of the match, but first, I need 30 more seconds to tell everybody about the U.S. Army, all right? The U.S. Army is bringing you Project Game Day and our post-game show. Rita and I are going to come back in and wrap it up. If you got any last-minute thoughts, get them in right there in the comments on Facebook Live. We'll come back in 30 seconds and finish things up.
Working is Army strong. Join the U.S. Army.
I don't know what happened there, but let's try it again.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than a million soldiers is Army strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields that's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There's strong, and then there's Army strong, paid for by the United States Army.
Money for college. More than 150 career paths. Up to $40,000 signing bonus. Visit GoArmy.com/40K bonus.
All right, Scott Hoffman, you're a bad guy. Scott Hoffman just said, hey, where do we start the GoFundMe to get Glenn the haircut that he so badly needs?
Oh, funny guy. That was not nice.
Funny guy, Scott Hoffman. Funny.
You know, Glenn
guy.
Got two kids now. He ain't got time to be getting
really all.
He don't have time to be getting all prettied up.
Also, I'm not worried about
and
it.
And maintenance. He don't have time for that, y'all.
You know what's going to happen? My kid's going to rip my hair out of my head
there
when
it
he's
is.
Sitting on my shoulders. So, you
he
know
don't
what?
Have time to be all sexy. Maybe he likes his hair.
Yeah, right? And who says I'm not sexy like this, Rita? Now you sound a little judgmental over there.
My bad. I'm
ridiculous. Ridiculous. God. All right, we need man of the match votes. So I think that this is going to be...
This is a slam dunk.
Typically, there are going to be days where we really need to hash it out, and we're going to have to battle, and we're going to have
to
go to the wall. Today's not the day. Man of the match was obvious today. And look, again, if he can be this guy for 16 games...
He can't.
Let me say the part that I have to say, and then you say your part, okay? If he can be this guy for 16 games... then it's not going to matter if these young pass rushers aren't ready to be rock stars, because this guy we know is capable of being a rock star.
He has been a rock star in his prime.
I'm with you, though, in that I find it to be unlikely that he can be this guy for 16 games. But today, Terrell Suggs was a monster.
Monster.
He was a monster. He was absolutely a game changer in today's game. We know how capable Terrell Suggs has been of being a game changer. We're just not used to it.
Correct.
Recency bias says that's not really who he is any longer. It was awesome to see that Terrell Suggs on the field again today. Six tackles, two sacks, a TFL, pass deflection, another quarterback hit. Really was the reason why there were two turnovers today. I mean, Terrell Suggs was a monster today for the Baltimore Ravens. So Terrell Suggs was the easy choice and unanimous selection as well from our Twitter interaction. Unanimous selection for man of the match today for the Baltimore Ravens.
As he should be. Terrell Suggs, I believe, will be 35 years old in October. So what he did today is you guys won't see that too often for some 35-year-old men in the NFL.
This is the James Harrison thing, right?
But it's not common. You know, James Harrison, Terrell Suggs, these are special situations.
Yep.
These guys can still play. And Terrell Suggs, even with Za'Darius Smith going out, because now you have your other guy that's supposed to be helping you with pressure, he's no longer available.
Yep.
He essentially ran the show himself.
Correct.
And I have not seen him play at a level that of today. I felt like I was watching 25-year-old Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, he looked unbelievable.
He looked 10 like years younger.
Every year you hear that Terrell Suggs is in the best shape of his life,
yes.
Right? You hear that every year to the point where you roll your eyes at it every time that you hear it. I hope Terrell Suggs is in great shape. I hope he's got... 10 games like this in him this season. I think I'd take 6 games like this.
I'd take 6 easily.
And call that a victory.
Absolutely.
At this point. My gut tells me this isn't who he's going to be for 16 games, and that's why I think the focus is so much to me on the young pass rushers to prove that someone in that group can be dominant, because I don't think you can get this from Terrell Suggs as consistently this season, but you got it today. He was a monster. Easy choice for man of the match. Shout out to Terrence West, who had a nice day. Shout out to Jeremy Maclin for a huge play. Shout out to Ladarius Webb, right? Like a guy that looked like a guy that could still be out on the field
today.
Has been pressed into this third corner responsibility, handled it fairly well. So Other guys, Michael Pierce, I thought had a nice day. There were other guys who had nice days.
I can never say the undrafted linebacker's name, Ansunwa.
Ansunwa. We're gonna be in the same boat.
He had a deflection as well.
Correct.
I mean, so he had a good game. I mean, and Ravens have always been good with getting undrafted guys at linebacker. But yeah, Terrell Suggs.
And just Jimmy Smith's presence.
Jimmy Smith's presence shut AJ Green down. Let's be clear.
Jimmy Smith's presence changes everything about football game.
Yes.
There being a guy lined up on one side of the field that you're afraid to throw towards because he can absolutely single man cover a quality NFL wide receiver changes everything about a football game. It allows help to the pressure to get there. It allows other guys to have to make plays. So Jimmy Smith just being on the field alone,
yep,
his just
presence.
Availability,
yep.
Is enough to put him in that
I
conversation.
Agree.
All right, Rita, I think that's going to be it for us for voyage number one. I don't know. We got a little clicking thing going on here. I don't know what that's all about. We'll get that fixed.
But before we go, I mean, I think we should tell people, like, hey, we are happy about what happened today,
yes,
guys.
Today was a great day.
Today was a great day. Because I know you want us to just be happy and gleefully. And we are. We are. We are happy that the Ravens came out, did what they were supposed to do against a team that they don't have a history of doing this
correct.
Against at home, at their home.
This is
so
the first
we're happy.
Win in Cincinnati since the 2011 season.
But this is what I'm saying. So
that's
we're
a
happy.
Great thing.
We are, and we're even more happy that it's a shutout.
Right. We have some concerns about this football team, and we will address them. We're going to be doing this every week.
Absolutely.
And so every week we'll have an opportunity to discuss these things, and I have the right to change my opinion, to say, hey, I'm seeing something different. I'm seeing something that makes me change my mind. Today I didn't think the Ravens were going to win this game, but I don't feel like drastically like they're not still basically a .500 team.
Correct.
A .500 team can go 9-7 because a ball bounced the right way,
correct.
Something along those lines.
You got a two-game
right.
Ratio here.
I still think
losses.
That mostly they're about a .500 team, but if they continue particularly the big plays on defense, if they continue to do that, then I'm going to start to change my mind, obviously, in the coming weeks.
I'm with you on that, 800. But if they can find a way to make me say, okay, maybe they're really a playoff team,
right.
I'm going to roll with it.
Where are we finding you?
On Twitter, of course.
At
the NFL Chick.
That's what I'm looking for.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about. And, of course, every Sunday morning, it's Rita and KZ with the Fantasy and Reality Football Show. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning for Glenn Clark Radio, 10 to noon, and with you throughout the course of the week, pressboxonline.com/radio for all of those shows. And we'll be back next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Another 1 o'clock kickoff, so we'll be with you immediately following the game for Project Game Day postgame right here. Please do me a favor. Tell your friends about it.
Share this. Share it. You can share it.
Correct. Click share so that other people that don't know what we're doing, is a little bit different. It's not. I know that a lot of people are on Facebook Live, but a lot of people don't get it just yet, or they haven't made it destination viewing. So please help us out. Do us a solid. Have your friends. Tell their friends. Tell your mom. Tell your grandma. Tell whoever you can tell what's going on. Project Game Day brought to you by Par Excel and by the U.S. Army. Read a lot of fun. Looking forward to doing
absolutely.
This throughout the course of the season.
And I'm looking forward to people being mad because we just not 100% on the bandwagon of, oh, we won. Yeah, you're going to be mad
correct.
At us.
Correct.
We're going to win, and then we're going to say, yeah, we won, but because that's our job.
And we're going to talk through it. We're going to talk through it together.
Yes.
That's what I like doing. At Glenn Clark Radio on Twitter. Shoot me a follow on there. We'll talk to you next week. It's been the Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by Par Excel and the U.S. Army.